Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Ear to Ear Podcast with C-Ray and Lanny Moe. If you haven't found us yet and you just now have, I am C-Ray. The loving, titleist, hat-wearing fellow on the other side here is Lanny Moe. Lanny Moe, how you doing tonight, buddy?
What's up, my man? How are you?
It's another day in paradise, buddy. Another day in paradise. Good weekend, right?
Great weekend.
WVU gets the convincing win, 38-14, over the Pokes of Oklahoma State this past weekend. Green going 9 of 15 for only 159 yards. Not a lot of yards, but don't beat me to the punchline. No touchdowns, no picks, but it doesn't really tell the story. Jaheim White finally lighting his fuse for the season, 159 yards and a touchdown. C.J. Donaldson, 77 yards on the ground and two scores. And then Garrett Green comes back around for his 86 yards and a score. And that's the story. It was a ground game all day. Okie Light had no answers for the running game. Defense was locked in all day. I'm not sure how much of the success you put to our opponent and how bad they were this year. But either way, the Mountaineers played clean and efficient all day. So it was a really good weekend. It was really nice to see. So let's start there. Lanny, fire us off and tell you what you like this weekend, bud.
It's one of those things where no one's going to remember to score a year from now anyway. We're just going to know that we went there and dominated from the opening kickoff. They put up 14 points, and I hate to say that seven of them were trash, but they were.
They were.
I hate to see anybody get injured on any team, and I'm not saying at all that the game would have been a different because Ollie Gordon was a non-factor on that for them.
He's been a non-factor most of the season for them, and I think that's been a lot of their problem.
Our defense showed up lights out, and whatever they pre-gamed, whatever they ate, whatever the walkthrough consisted of, don't change nothing. Whatever it is, whatever they did, you know, don't change anything. But for real, though, I thought there'd be a dogfight. I thought it would come down to a massive mistake made by somebody. But we all knew stop the run, make them one dimensional. And their quarterback,
dude, he's awful.
He's not good. They should have. I mean, honestly, it's easy to say after the fact, but they should have made a switch long before that. The second string quarterback looked a lot better. I mean, he just looked better in general. But let's not talk about them. Let's talk about us. The play calling was good. I mean, it was very, very vanilla. But whenever you're getting chunks on the ground, dude, you can be the caller of Elmer's glue, you know. And I don't care when you're picking up 7-8 yards, touch. I never got scared whenever Green took a shot, you know. But that's one of them injuries, man. You know, you're talking separated shoulder on your throwing arm. That possibility, I'm like, oh no, that's a 3 to 4 week injury when it happened, easily. And I'm not worried about if they put Nico in. I think Nico can run things. You know, he's not going to hurt you. I just believe that Nico's not going to hurt you. And got to worry about Nico. You got to worry about Nico hurting himself. He's out there running over safeties.
Did you see that? You see the way he knocked the crap out of that guy, dude? That was fantastic, man.
I'm like, dude, do you not realize no one knows who the third string quarterback is? And, I mean, it's like they talk about next man up. It's like, I mean, you got the train. Neil said that the transfer from BYU is – you know, I do not know his name. He's like, I wasn't too worried about Nico. Nico, worry about yourself, my man. You know,
dude. I mean, that run where he gave that hit was strong, man. I mean, he knocked the crap out of that guy and got like another 5 yards, man. It was impressive.
He did not even think about one, a slide, or no. Two, hitting a circle button on him at all. I mean, he hit the hit stick right now, and I love it, but I'm like, come on, dude, you know, don't take yourself out, you know.
While you have Nico on deck there, 1-1, 10 whole yards in the air, but that 10 yards in the air was a beautiful strike, and he threaded the needle into that pass. And I'm sorry, A lot of people know I'm on the Nico train. I'm sorry, but a lot of people are going to hate me for this. Green doesn't make that pass. I'm sorry. I don't think
you can be on that train all you want next year. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was the wide receivers. I commend, like, as I'm watching the game, I'm watching Oklahoma State players picking themselves up, not just from the offensive line or picking up, you know, or running backs picking up blitzes and stuff. Are the reason we could break the 12, 14 yard runs that we had, the wide receivers were putting face mask to face mask and driving back, locking up the D backs. That's why, you know, we could bust some of the runs we got. Total team domination on both sides of the ball, on both sides.
Yeah. As far as my thoughts go, I don't have a whole lot of different things to say. First things first, I'm going to give Brandon Phoenix of the Raspy Voice Kids podcast his due.
Yes, dude nailed it.
We were on the round table with Earbeard and Coos and some other people last week, and he just flat out says it. Boys, we're going to beat them. We're going to beat them bad because they're a bad team, and Bowman's a bad quarterback, and he nailed it. They are – I almost feel bad for Bowman because, I mean, you know, he's getting booed off the field every drive, but he's getting paid now, so I don't feel – bad for him. Okay, I don't feel as bad as I would have 5 years ago. Good call, Brandon Phoenix. Well done. He nailed it. He summed up the whole game 3 days before it happened.
And if you're giving us a listen, please let's give a listen to Raspy Voice Kids.
Good stuff. Those guys, him and I think it's his brother Jeremy. They're mm-hmm. they're cool. They got some good stuff going on over there. O-line was great. O-line played well. Gave Green, when we were passing the ball, gave Green plenty of time. Now, granted, you know how I am, Lanny. I have my realisms here, and it was against the fifth worst defense in college football. But they gave Green all the time he needed to make some passes. But as far as the offense goes, it was ground and pound all day. I don't know what else to say about it. It was a good day. It was a good game. The defense, you know, locked in. Did their stuff. The most important thing to me is what this game does for our mindset coming, you know, going forward.
Yeah.
Anybody that's paid any attention to the schedule and any of the conversation going on the last couple weeks, if you want to call it a gauntlet, we've got two games and a questionable. You know, I'm not sure about Arizona. I don't know how big, how bad, how hard of a game that's going to be for us.
Too far away for me to think about it. They play 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you're exactly right. I think this gives us a lot of energy going into Iowa State. This is just obviously my opinion. I don't, you know, hopefully somebody out there agrees with it. To me, Iowa State and Kansas State are Neil's biggest games of his career as the head coach in Morgantown, West Virginia. Even this, to me, the next 2 weeks for him are even bigger than the fact that he lost at Pitt this year, and here's why. For 5 years and basically half a season now, we have watched the exact same thing unfold. We lose to the good teams. We beat the teams that suck, okay, and have losing records. Now, Oklahoma State, 500 right now. Gundy only had one losing season the whole time he's been at Oklahoma State, and which was 2005, was his first year. He went 4-8. It's the only time he's had a losing season there. I think he could get a second losing season this year. I don't know who they're going to beat this. I don't know who else they're going to beat this year. But that aside, they're right now at 500. But we've seen this story play out with Neil, okay, for the first 5 years of football here. This weekend, the next 2 weekends, starting this weekend, is his chance to finally show Mountaineer Nation, the ESPN pundits, the Mountaineer faithful, Ren Baker, everybody watching, there's a lot of eyes on this game this weekend. Is this when we finally turn the corner? We've got an undefeated number 11 Iowa State who's not playing. They haven't played any kind of mountainous, you know, opponents, but they're playing well. Their quarterback he's pretty decent. He's on, I think it's like 66% on the year, averaging 235 yards a game. Not as effective on the ground as Green is, but he's much more effective through the air. And He, you know, Green is effective enough in the air maybe to try to keep a defense honest. I don't know. He's still bad on his long passes. I mean, we know that. So it's a big – this is a big game. This is a big game. Cole Rush junk aside, all that crap, this is a big deal for Neil to show that he can do this.
Well, to me, it's one of them things where I don't know if he's ever – I'm not a stat guy. I don't know if if Neil Brown has ever beat a ranked team.
He's 4-16 against ranked teams, so he's shooting 25% right now.
You know, has he beaten a ranked team at WVU?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. At WVU, his first half, up through so far right now.
Okay,
yeah, I think he was 4-15 before we played Penn State.
Okay, and but this one things where you, I've said it when the schedule came out, I'm like, you got to win your home games. You don't want these teams on the road. And you got a sweet draw. You got the best draw in the Big 12. I truly believe that as far as you have, you know, I can't think of them right now. Darn it, we play Iowa State. We got Iowa State at home. We got K-State at home. You got Texas Tech at the end of the year at home, you know. So
Texas Tech is away.
Oh, Texas Tech is away. My fault.
That's why I'm worried about that game because it's in
love. Sorry, I got a little excited there. And
calm down.
But it's one of the things where if they can run this gauntlet and get at least this next one, you know, you can roll. And my take about Iowa State is they are the boa constrictors of the Big 12, where they latch on. And you don't realize you're getting killed until the end, whenever you look up at the scoreboard and it's 38-20. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you think you got a shot to escape, and they just slowly just bend you and break you. And you don't, and you're kind of liking it along the way because you think like it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Next thing you know, you look up and there's 8 minutes left in the game and you're down 2 or 3 scores to them.
Yeah.
And we can't get into that with them.
No.
You know,
no, not at all.
I don't
know, well, because the thing that's killing me right now about them, they have outscored their opponents 136-31. Outside of Iowa, their one close game was their in-state rival Iowa. That's the one close game they've had. They shut out Baylor or Houston. Houston. They shut out Houston. Now, granted, we might be their next biggest test outside of Iowa. I mean, they've played North Dakota, Arkansas State, Houston, and Baylor. All right, so it's not like they're playing any world beaters. Like I said, Iowa's ranked 21. That's been their toughest game so far. But the fact is, they're outscoring their opponents by more than 100 points right now. So that, you take that, they're ranked 11th. We know how that's played so far for Neil. Not great, 25% right now. And then Rocco Beck he's good enough that our secondary is going to struggle because they have a pretty decent running game. And it's going to be, what do we do? Because he's pretty effective on the ground. He's not effective on the ground as Green is, but he's effective enough to make our defense struggle.
They're just balanced.
That's a good way to say it. Balanced.
They are just so balanced, and none of their wide receivers have blazing speed. None of their, you know what I'm saying, they don't have a lightning and thunder at running back. They don't have, but yet it's one of those things where they don't get blown out. They are in every single game to the very end. It just seems that way. And as far as being worried, they always seem to have a wide open tight end somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like they get those corn-fed 6'5", 260-pound tight ends, it seems, that just run 8 yards, turn around, and they put on the money. And they just move the chain and chip away. And that's why nobody falls in love and people forget about Iowa State. Is because they're Iowa State. That's they know who they are, and they just grind it out and they win. I mean, there's no jazzing it up. Let's not make them something or not. They are not exciting. They are not going to blow somebody out, but it's one of them things where they're just simply good.
Well, I don't know. This year they've blown some people out. Now, again, they're not great teams, but I mean, their defense, you know, how you mentioned a little bit ago, you called them the boa constrictors of the Big 12. And that kind of plays into their defense right now because, again, not playing world beaters, but their defense is allowing 10 points per game.
Yeah. Okay?
I mean, they've played five games and they've had 50 points scored on them in five games. It's pretty, that's pretty damn good.
So what
scares me is if they figure out that the formula here is going to try to make us beat them with Green's arm, that I think that's where we might get into trouble. And I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a miserable cuss doom or something, I guess. Maybe that's what the issue is. I'm not quite back on the ladder yet to climb. Now,
did you just make up a word?
Long story, I'll tell you later.
Okay, because I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah, there's some people listening to this. They're gonna love what I just said. I'll be honest with you. I'll just put it out there. I don't care. So, like, you know, the West Virginia message board I'm a part of. You know, I talked to on there, and me and some other people were talking about the game this past weekend. How we were happy we won. It was really great to enjoy the win, but we're still cautious because this playbook is playing the same as the first 5 years has. And some dude on there called me a miserable cuss doom. Never heard it. I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw it in there for some of the people, you know, it's impressive. Yeah. It's made up, I guess. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to start using it because I thought it was pretty funny. You know, but here's the thing. If we can win the next 2 weeks, I'll be willing to walk over to the ladder and like check it out. Hey, you know, what's this first rung looking like? Is this going to hold me? Can I climb this ladder? You know, all right. If we can win the next two, I'll be on board to at least look at the ladder. I'll even touch the ladder.
They're saying they got to win the next two for you to go near the ladder to start climbing.
For me to even to inspect the ladder to see if it's going to hold my neighbor in. Yeah. Okay. And here's why. Okay. Because of the 5-year history that we have of Neil Brown. This isn't year one. This isn't year two. We're trying to figure out whether and what he is and what he can or can't do. It's year six. We've seen 5 years so far of what we think. So to me, this year, pretty much I'm at a point where nothing short of getting to Dallas is going to get me on the ladder. I don't think he necessarily has to win the Big 12 championship, but we got to be there. I mean, I got to call you in December and say, hey, we going to this thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be able to do that, and not because we're going to watch somebody else. So, you know, I'm going out on a branch here, okay? I really am. I'm giving Neil one more benefit of the doubt right here. And some of the people that know me are going to be surprised by this. I think the home field advantage is going to come in handy. And I think we're going to squeak it out 30-28.
I think West Virginia, last week I called a close one. I think that some craziness goes down. And I'm calling blowout.
Jeez. Get out of here.
West Virginia 42-17.
I have no words for what I feel.
42-17. And they leave no doubt that night.
42-17. Are you freaking high?
No, dude. On dude, life. We're not. On life.
You freaking nuts, man. 42's okay. Whatever. All right. Look, we're going to just move past that crap. 30-28. I'm going with the close one. I think we squeak it out. I think we just barely get it. But I think we might. I think it's going to be a packed house, man.
I hope.
It's.
I hope I can't see nobody. It's so black in there.
Well, I'm not, a lot of people that know me, I'm not the biggest fan of this whole Cole Rush thing. I'm not an old man. Get off my lawn about it. I just can't.
I know it's what the cool kids want.
I know.
But,
I know. Did you see the thing on? Did you see the thing on Twitter where? And I'm hoping it's kind of fake, but I don't think that it is. The Mountaineer is supposed to be wearing a black coon skin outfit this week.
Come on, man!
That's what I saw. That's what I heard. If it was a joke, somebody please correct me. But yes, yeah. You know how you listen? You know what you're feeling right now. That's what I felt when you said 42-17. All right, that was my okay. Okay. I got so I'm going to throw something out here, Lanny. I didn't tell you about this, but uh-oh. after I go through this little rant, I'm getting ready to go on. I want your opinion on this. This is okay. a PSA for Mountaineer Nation out there. Okay, there's a group of fans out there that for some reason, if you're not pumping sunshine up your hind end and shooting rainbows out the other end, yep. you're not a real fan. Okay, and these people, it's like. If you're a bit of a realist where you're like, okay, hey, it was great to get a win this weekend, but hey, let's pump the brakes and see if we can beat Iowa State. Then I'll be excited. Well, you're not a real fan and you suck. You know, it's okay to love our program and enjoy the wins and still think there are issues with the program. Cause guess what? Personally, I still think there is. If you think because we beat a 1-4 FCS team and a 1-5 Kansas team and the worst Oklahoma State team has been put on a field since 2005. And you think that that means we're back, then you're a delusional blind homer. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. That's some of the things I've been told is like, you're not a real fan because you don't blindly believe that we're going to go undefeated every year. I just don't understand that concept, I guess.
I'm with you to an extent where if you say anything bad, people want to twist it to where you're not a good human. And you know, about WVU whenever you're just being real. And it's one of those things where I have a problem with people jumping on and off the bandwagon. That's what bothers me. My father-in-law, love him to death, but he will turn a game off, and if West Virginia goes down 10 points, the game goes off. And then he wants to tell me the next day, like, well, I turned it back on and man, they were back and then they lost or whatever. And that bothers me whenever. You know, and when I see 7 minutes left and in the game with the Coliseum or over to, you know, Milan Pushkar Stadium and people roll out, that bothers me, you know?
Yeah, the thing, when people start rolling out, I hate that. I mean, I've sat in that stadium, you know, I've sat in that stadium through some pretty unfortunate games. And I mean, I don't know. I don't like to leave early.
But when somebody says that, you know, if they drop a couple games and, you know, and you put some, you know, some truth words into it of you're disappointed. You are what you are. You pay for your tickets, and all we can do is sit in our basements and wear the golden blue and root for them. That's all we can do.
Right.
And, you know, I'll never, ever, you know, get personal with a coach or a player. They're still a kid, even though they're getting paid a lot of money now to be student athletes. But, you know, still yet though. And I realize who they are and I realize who I am. And I mean, all I can do is cheer for them, cry with them and bitch and complain. That's about all I can really do. Wow, but as far as being calling somebody a true fan, this and that, whatever, what makes you a more fan than me? I don't care. I really don't.
Right.
You know, sit in your mama's basement type of way.
So, I mean, that's the question, right? What makes you a true fan? Is it how much money you spend on the team? Is it how much crap you have hanging up in your basement? Is it, you know, I mean, I guess I'm not a real fan. I what I need to do is build me a better background for the podcast, which, you know, I after deer season do plan on doing. It's just, you know, I got football season and deer season right now, man. Golf season. I ain't got time to build sets right now. You know, wait till it starts snowing. I'll have a real nice set come basketball season. But yeah, it's like, that's the good question is what makes somebody a better fan than somebody else. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the point. Like, I'm just as much as a fan as the next guy that's out here saying, well, we ain't beat a ranked team and we haven't been ranked in, you know, since 2018, but we're going to win the national championship this year. Okay. I don't believe that, but I'm still a fan. I'm still going to root for them. I'll never, ever root for WVU to lose.
No,
I'll never do that.
No,
I'll never do that.
That's like with me. If I cannot take whether if somebody like Penn State was giving West Virginia 15 points or whatever it was, I couldn't bet against them. I just rather not bet, you know,
than bet against them
I know my heart's in there and I'm not going to root for them to lose so I can win money, you know.
Well, how much money? Every man has his price, Lanny. I mean,
You know, but I wish
we're playing Georgia and you put $100 down and we beat Georgia, you win $100,000. You might not root for Georgia a little bit.
It wouldn't be that much, but still yet.
I don't know anything about betting. I wish I would have trusted my gut.
This last weekend with Oklahoma State, to tell you the truth, because the line was like three, Western was getting like 3.5 at one point, and I didn't take them. I'm like, I'm just going to stay away because I'm just going to root for points and this, and wow, that would have been a nice like little chunk. But anyway, the fandom thing, we're all on the same team in a weird way. And, you know, people like to, like, honestly say I'm this or I'm that, you're not. And
I'm better than you for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, I donate. That's one of the bigger thing now is I'm a donor. I pay so much. So I should be able, my point costs more than your point of view, you know, or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I can throw the fact of, I'm very proud of this. I'm 47 year, my father, 47 year season ticket holder of WU football, you know? And so that's where I hang my notch at. But I grew up on the other side of the Mon River, and I could hear the band practicing at the Coliseum, you know, and sitting out on the back porch of my mom looking over the river to 84 Lumber and being able to hear the band practice. Me and my dad be able to walk up over the hill across the old Blue Star City Bridge and walk to the basketball games. You know, I'm an Osage boy. That's where I'm from.
That's a long walk.
That's too long of a walk. From the Star City Bridge to the Coliseum?
Dude, that's too much. Uphill. Dude.
At home, it was downhill. I could trip and fall in the river.
That's true. You could trip on the way home. You could trip and fall all the way to the freaking house.
But it's one thing. Both my parents, you know, worked at WVU, retired from WVU. You know, I was blessed to be born and raised in Morgantown, you know, and I always got a kick out when I still to this day at 46 years old to go out of the state and people's like, where are you from? And I say Morgantown, you know, and then to go down to the southern part of the state and they say, where are you from? I say Morgantown. They're like, you think I said Oz, you know, they're like, oh, you're from like people actually born and raised in Morgantown. Like, yeah, it's different. It's, you know, like where you're from, you came to school in Morgantown, you know?
Well, I mean, I will admit pretty much all of my family's from Morgantown with the exception of my parents that I grew up with, my grandparents that helped raise me. So, being an Eastern Panhandle kid, born there and everything, but I mean, don't get me wrong, Morgantown's always been home. I spent all my summers there, went to school there. I mean, it's definitely
it's home.
It is. I mean, I would have never moved to Charleston if it wouldn't have been for my wife when she graduated law school. That's what brought us down here. So that's I'd still be in Morgantown without. But time for something fun. We've done it for a couple episodes. Laney loves this. He loves it. They're not too hot tonight, though, so don't get too excited. But, I like to throw out there on Twitter and try to get some viewer questions. And you guys put something out there either on Twitter or put it in the comments here on YouTube, the questions that you would like to get our opinions on. I get to read them because I'm the one that pretty much runs our stuff. Laney likes to run the chops. He runs his chops while I run the computers and stuff. But so I get to know what these are. I get to think about my answer. But I put Laney right on the spot with these, baby, because viewer questions, number one. We only got two this week. So you guys out there that are listening, throw us a few because Laney loves it, and I like watching his reaction sometimes. So Big Will WV05 says – As for West Virginia, at least, history shows that after a quality road win, the next home game, they tend to crap the bed, so to speak. how do you feel about us going into this quote-unquote coal rush game? Is it just another Penn State? I'll let you go first.
No, it is not just another Penn State.
Yes, we're going to disagree on this one.
Yeah, because Neil said in his press conference today, I listened to it today, that he said that he's limiting the distractions. They're not going to do like any type of interviews, any type of like the McAfee thing where he was on the show, Garrett Green was on the show.
Yeah, because that's why we lost to Penn State.
No, Pat McAfee. No, but he's saying he's not blaming it. He did not blame it at all, but he's going to cut down on any type of distraction that the team has been hardened to this atmosphere a little bit with playing Penn State to playing Pitt. Now it's kind of like been there, done that. And I think this is going to be a business venture is how I think they're going to take this on. My big worry about a business venture is somebody think it's got to be perfect. Like a pitcher in baseball, when they try to throw it right on the outside corner and you leave one hot and heavy down the middle, you know, that's where just throw it. And, you know, mistakes will happen and they're on their own. Don't cause yourself to make one. But I think it's not, the hype isn't as Penn State. It's just not close.
Okay. I think it is going to be another Penn State. And here's why. First off, you know, you said been there, done that. You know, Penn State, Pitt, Iowa State. Penn State, lost. Pitt, lost. Iowa State, lost. That's what we're going to be saying after this weekend. As far as this question goes and answering the question, I do think it's going to be another Penn State because I'm looking at 5 years of history that we've seen unfold. And until the course of history has changed, what reason do I have to believe that anything different is going to happen? Beat the bad teams, lose to the good teams. Iowa State's a good team this year. They're ranked. They're undefeated. That's all there is to it. So in my opinion, I'm trying to be positive here and trying to go off the momentum. And I want to feel pretty good about it. But, yeah, to me, it's going to be – history tends to repeat itself until you learn from your mistakes. And for 5 years, Neil hasn't learned from his mistakes.
History rewrites itself Saturday night, my friend.
Okay, well, you know, you're freaking 42-17 or whatever the hell you said. I still think that's nuts. other question. It's about Nico, actually. Seeing Nico come in and not miss a beat, turn around, carry us down, you know, throw the 10-yard pass, turn around, carry us down the field for yet another score right after that with his feet. How do you feel about the future with that position?
Let's talk immediate future, okay? I think Nico deserves at least about 6 snaps a game. I'm going to say 2 series. At least put him in to hand the ball off. At least put him in, run play action behind it. You know,
He throws
the wrinkle. He throws the wrinkle because, yes, that I know you're the same kind of mold, even though Garrett's faster, but they still have different, their dynamics are different. Right. And it makes teams prepare when Nico comes in. He's not just a runner. He's not just a passer. He's a better passer. He's not a better runner, but he's a more physical runner. And
I think he's just as effective with his run.
In a
different way. I think they're both equally fast. Green is quicker. Does that make sense? Right?
It does make sense to me.
He's shiftier.
Yes.
He can shift direction a lot quicker than Nico.
He can plant his foot and go faster.
Right. But right. Nico, in my opinion, is just as effective as a runner. And a lot of the things people got, you know, last year when Green got hurt and we beat Pitt with Nico, we beat Texas Tech last year with Nico, and everyone's like, I don't understand what you see in Nico that makes him so good. Yeah, we do have a small sample size. Okay, yeah. Pitt last year, you can't say much. He came in, they played at vanilla just to keep the lead and keep mistakes down and get out of there with the win. He came in against Texas Tech, and a lot of people, when I tell them this, they're like, oh, I forgot about that. At the end of the game, we needed to march down the entire field to score a touchdown to win that game. And he did it as a freshman. He stood in the pocket like a junior and made the passes that – I'm sorry, but a lot of the passes that Green can't make, those layups, those 10-yard slants and stuff, he's gotten a little better this year, but still off on him. When he didn't pass, he picked up first downs with his legs. Yeah. Okay? So I see the progression there. And then you come in this year. He comes in, and I mean, it's like we didn't even stop. It's like we didn't even switch quarterbacks. And he comes in, snaps the ball, and zips one through a window into the end zone, turns around the next drive, carries us down with his legs. Like, I feel great about the future, assuming – and here's the wrinkle in this – assuming that Nico is here with Neil. Because in my opinion – the reason that Nico is still here is because Neil was here. I'm not going to get into who I know, and I'm not crap like that. I've been told a few different times that Nico's got a lot of love for Neil, and he loves West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And he likes it here, but he likes Coach Brown. So the worry is, what happens if this year kind of busts and Neil's not here next year? Does Nico go with him, or does Nico stay? But if – as much as I would think it unfortunate, unless we make it to Dallas this year, Neil Brown is our coach next year. I feel that I feel completely comfortable with our future of quarterback play.
Oh man, I couldn't ask for anything more. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I don't, like I said, I Green's our starter. Green's our dude. Green's the one we hooked the wagon to. But if that wagon would blow up, you know, a spoke. here comes Nico and grabs the reins and he can run with it. I believe that. And Neil from day two of camp openly said, I have full confidence. The playbook, the plan does not change with one quarterback to the other. And I truly believe that.
Well, I will say, I do like how you said, you know, and I agree that Nico should be getting a few series here and there just to throw a wrinkle in there, because he's at a point now where we saw it beating Texas Tech last year. We saw it so far this year with this weekend with God, who we play this weekend?
Buddy, I forget.
Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State. Yeah. Man, God, geez, boys. I promise I'm not drunk or anything. I'm not doing podcasts while I'm drunk. It just slipped my mind for a second. But against Oklahoma State, we saw it come in. It's like we didn't even switch quarterbacks, right? So I believe that if we threw him in there here and there every once in a while.
And when you put him in, it's not a delay handoff. It's, you know what I'm right. saying? Or is it? You know, it's not a 60-yard bomb. Throw it up for Hudson or, you know.
Or is it? I mean,
That's the thing, because no one has seen Nico chuck the ball for a while. So it's one of those things where that's the question. When Nico comes in, say Garrett's head pops, not his head pops, but his helmet pops off.
Jeez.
And he's got a set of play. You know what? And it's second and two. Let's just say Garrett took off running, takes a shot, helmet comes off. He's completely fine. He's got to, you know what I'm saying, set out one play. Nico runs in. I don't see a problem in letting him, you know, hey, rip one. I want to see you rip one 45 yards downfield.
Yeah, I don't see a problem.
Because
I essentially don't see a problem with letting him do what almost
anything else he wants to do.
Anything he wants to do. Now let me ask you this. What did you think about when Green initially got hurt? He left the field. Nico comes in. Mm-hmm. We score.
Mm-hmm.
Then Nico marches us down. We score. I initially had a problem with Green coming back in as quick as he did. Here's why. Sometimes you got to roll with the hot hand. And at that point in the game, when Nico came in, it was like a bit of a momentum shift. And he was the hot hand for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that? Were you
as
50-50? No, did you not really see a difference?
I didn't care. When I say I didn't care, I really didn't care at that point. You were up, 17, 21, you know?
I think by the time Green came back in, because we had scored twice. I know we were up at least.
And my thing is, he is the starter, and I trust Neil when he says, like, that I wasn't going to put him back in unless the staff said he is good. Not that, hey, watch this. 100% from the staff, He's good to go, you know, and not a kid going, I'm fine, coach. I'm fine. No, there was none of that. There was none of that.
Give me a shot of Toradol, baby.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But my problem was the last 2 to 3 drives of the game.
Should have been Nico.
Should have been Nico.
Yeah.
It should have been Nico.
Yeah. 100%.
I'm just saying that because there's not going to be a quarterback controversy over it. You know, it's no. Dude, why would we set you up to take a shot when we know this game is done?
Well, that and giving as many reps as we can to Nico is what we need to do.
Yes.
Okay. And here's something else. There's a few people out there that are talking about, well, this is Ryder Burton's team next year. Ryder Burton's, get the hell out of here.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you why. It's not even because Ryder Burton may or may not be better than Nico. It's because of Neil Brown and his loyalty. He rode Daigie's horse as long as he could when we were like, why are we not playing Green? Green's better. And then even when we were thinking, man, Green ain't that great. Why are we not giving Nico a try? He still stuck with Green. Next year when Nico's up, unless Nico gets hurt, Ryder Burton ain't taking those reins over.
No way. No, and they can say all they want come spring of next year that they're splitting reps or they're trying to make these real journalists out there are trying to make a story out of it. It's Nico's time to shine. Next year.
Oh, and he'll shine.
And next year, Nico's getting a check, you know, a bigger check than what he's getting this year.
Say, he's already getting a check.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. And Nico's getting everything that Nico wants, and it's Nico's team.
Yeah.
Simple fact. Yeah. You know, come January, whatever, it's Nico's team or before then.
Well, I mean, you know? These sunshine pumpers coming January, it's still going to be Green's team because we're going to be playing in the playoffs.
Yeah. Against Vanderbilt.
Dude, I don't want to play Vanderbilt, man. You know, people that aren't watching this on YouTube, I was kind of dumbfounded there for a second when he said that. I was like, well, no. Oh, wait, no, actually, he's right. I don't want that game.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Listen, great. We unpacked some controversial crap here tonight. But hey, let's see how it goes this weekend. You know, we're going to be up there, 8 o'clock kickoff. It's going to be fun. I'm not wearing a black shirt because I'm going to be up there all day. I'm not doing that. I'm going to wear a gold shirt because gold.
It is going to be a beautiful day in Morgantown. I checked the weather.
Yeah.
A high of 76, but when the sun goes down, the freaks come out.
Football weather.
And, you know, there might not be shirts worn, you know, but at the end. But
I'll tell you what, if we win 42-17, I'll take my shirt off in the stands and swing it around, okay? Section 102, everybody. If we're up 42-17 when the clock reads zeros, look at section 102. I'll be there swinging my shirt around.
It's one of the things. I can't wait. It's going to be – I just love night games. And they already announced K-State.
Night game, 7:30.
7:30. So yeah. We're going from 8 o'clock, 7:30 the next weekend. Well, so
I will say this. If we win this weekend, there's going to be a big deal made out of the Kansas State game. The hype around that might be comparable to Penn State. West Virginia's got hype and they're going to play Penn State because West Virginia is doing things that we didn't – we'll use Neil Brown's favorite thing. West Virginia's doing things we didn't expect. Right?
My favorite thing was he said special. That was special.
It's special.
He says special, man. It lights me up. It's one of the things. Show up early. So we're gonna stay late, and
that's it.
Just know your responsibility levels, and I'll be in a blue lot probably about 3:15, 3:30, and
some people's gonna say we're who. What are you waiting so long for?
I know. I know. But it's one of them things. I got little things, few things to take care of Saturday, and then I'll be ready to turn out Saturday night. If those who are looking for us, find us on Twitter, Spotify now, Apple Pod, What else, Corey? Because I don't
all of it. That's it. I mean, we got the YouTube stuff here. If you're watching this, you're already here. Apple Podcast, search Ear to Ear Podcast with C. Ray and Laney Moe. Yeah, Twitter, Ear to Ear Podcast. It's all Ear to Ear Podcast.
E-E-R-B-O-E-A-R. If you check, say it again
because I'm trying to spell it out, Laney. That's E-E-R-T-O-E-A-R Podcast.
If anybody's looking on a Twitter, we got a new logo.
Yep.
So C. Ray will be firing that out there here. Oh, it's on Twitter already, but
no, it's on Twitter already. I'm gonna change our intro. We'll change our intro for next week.
We got some stuff happening. Yeah. So not ready for quite some for giveaways or anything crazy yet, but like, subscribe, hit us up.
Hey, that's it. Get us out there, leave us some comments, leave us some questions, let us know what you guys want to hear, and everybody have a good week.
Hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go.